My name is Pete Rucco. I'm an independent consultant specialising in behaviour management and SEBD needs. Identifying a child or young person as having SEBD needs is really quite fraught with difficulty. The category itself is often described as a catch-all, but the underpinning principles are that the behaviour needs to be abnormal, it needs to be of high frequency, and it needs to be more severe than what one would expect for a child of that age. I probably train somewhere in the region of 700 teachers a year in SEBD needs, and an understanding of theory can make a huge difference because it removes the emotional dimension from teachers' responses to those children and replaces it with a cognitive one. They can then start to problem solve rather than react as anyone else might do. I think it's a very good idea for classroom teachers to have a broad understanding of therapeutic approaches, but I think there is a huge danger in them just adopting them and trying to become the therapist themselves. First and foremost, they are teachers. They are not social workers, they are not psychotherapists. Part of having a broad understanding of the approaches that are used by other professionals is they know when to refer on and to whom they make the referral. Research would indicate that there are certain groups in society that are more likely to have SEBD needs. For example, white working class males, children and young people from Gypsy and Roma backgrounds. I think we need to be aware of the dangers of over-identification and just assuming that children and young people from these groups are more likely to have SEBD needs. I think it's more about how school systems operate and how flexible they are to accommodate the wide range of needs in a modern society. I think, unfortunately, many schools rely on quite emotive descriptions to describe individuals' behaviour. I mean, I still hear the term disruptive used over and over again. And in fact, when you talk to six teachers and ask them to define disruption, you get six different answers. So I think the first thing schools need to do is to become clearer in their description of an individual's behaviour. There are whole school approaches where they can start to monitor the behaviour and also monitor pupils' attitudes to schools. But in terms of individuals, there are, you know, lots of assessment tools that are available, observation checklists and so on, that can be used to actually identify behaviour change and to also identify what is the next element of behaviour that they would like to address. I think although behaviour management and SEBD needs clearly overlap, I think there are quite important distinctions between the two. Behaviour management is about creating an ordered environment in which children and young people can effectively learn. It's a whole school approach. Done well, it means that there is consistency across the staff, that there are clear rewards and consequences for inappropriate behaviour, and support mechanisms for staff. As far as SEBD needs are concerned, we need to bear in mind that this is an identified special educational need, which covers a wide range of needs and conditions. And I think when we're concerned with looking at SEBD needs, that staff have to have a very clear understanding of those needs and also a very clear understanding of the strategies that are most likely to work with them. And the school needs to be able to work very effectively with external agencies to help support those individuals. Training teachers in behaviour management and SEBD needs is effective in that it gives them new information, but it also allows them an opportunity to reflect on their own practice, and that is very important. However, in order to really enhance their skills, I found that a process of mentoring or coaching over a period of time is highly effective. It generally involves observing lessons, sometimes videoing those lessons, talking through with them afterwards what went well, what could have been improved, and actually giving them targets to improve for the next period of time. And over a term, for example, that can make huge changes to the practices of an individual teacher. One of the difficulties for teachers is that many children with severe SEBD needs are extremely good at, for want of a better phrase, pushing buttons and eliciting reactions from those teachers. And I think we need to make teachers aware that very often the process that's going on there is one known as transference, where those young people are projecting their disturbances and their feelings onto the adult. Rather than reacting, the adult needs to realise that they can use their own emotions to have a deeper understanding of what is troubling that particular individual child and to think about how they can respond and intervene to improve the situation. When schools put together an effective strategy to meet SEBD needs, I think it has to start from the top. There has to be a will and a commitment to working with those children. If that's not there from the governing body and the head teacher and the rest of the senior leadership team, then it's very unlikely to be as effective as it could be.